Right now, it is time to bring in our good friend, and Arthur joins us, every Monday, and we talk about food and various aspects of food and more with Arthur. Good morning, Arthur. Happy Labor Day.
Well, I'm not sure what's happy about it, but let's acknowledge it.
We're inhaling and exhaling and eating, so we can't complain.
Correct. You're right. Laboriously.
Yes.
So I'm still laboriously following this ultra, I don't even know what to call it anymore, because it's an ultra low carb diet. This is for rapid weight loss, except that there's nothing rapid going on here. I don't weigh myself. I don't dare. But I know you do. But I don't even want to know. But I gauge my weight loss, and it's stupid, by Bob's weight loss. Because he's addicted to the scale. So I know at any time of the day how much he weighs to the ounce. So he got a new scale that actually goes to the ounce. Anyway, so we have not had pasta, rice, potatoes, bread, any of those processed carbohydrates. Well, potato is not processed, but anyway, we haven't had any white carbs in. It's now going to be, it's almost 2 weeks. Well, it's more like 12 days today. And Bob immediately reacted by losing a few pounds, and then he immediately re-reacted by gaining a couple pounds, not ever going off the diet, except that he does have a high-carb breakfast. He does have cereal and a banana still. He did give it up for two mornings, but then he couldn't take it. So he went, and he wasn't losing weight, so he went back to his banana and cereal. I'm looking for ways to get around. Well, first of all, cooking is one of my major activities, and when you can't cook any of those carbohydrates, you're sort of limited, I've discovered. We do eat a lot of salad. You're allowed lettuce on this stuff. I'm making it up, by the way, because I did some research on the so-called keto diet, which is a diet that eliminates carbohydrates so that your body goes into a metabolic phase called ketosis, where your body is consuming itself, essentially, because it hasn't been fed any fuel, any carbohydrates. It starts using up your fat stores, and that's how you lose weight. So anyway, he went back to his banana and cereal, since eliminating it didn't seem to do anything. But other than that, we are super low carb. Now, one of the things that you should not be eating, believe it or not, is ketchup, which is basically all carbs and a lot of sugar carbs. So what to put on a hamburger, what to put on anything that you use ketchup on. So we had a delicious dinner of unbelievable tomatoes with fresh mozzarella and basil and oil. You're allowed oil on this diet, as much as you want, great olive oil, and that was a nice dinner. But it left me with a lot of basil, and I was thinking about making pesto, but what do you put pesto on? So instead of making a real Genovese pesto, which includes nuts and cheese, although you're allowed cheese and you're allowed nuts, I just somehow didn't want to spread that on stuff. So I just made up I'm calling it basil chimichurri, because it's more like chimichurri than it is like an Italian basil pesto. And I said Genovese because it's originally from Genoa, and there are many, 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 many pestos in Italy. The one that we think of when we say pesto is the one from Genoa with basil and pine nuts, although I use walnuts these days very often, garlic. So I just put in my mini processor, I just put some garlic. I'm going to sneeze.
Gesundheit.
Excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Anyway. Yeah, Gesundheit. My 7-year-old niece loves saying Gesundheit.
<I know. laughs>
So anyway, She got that from me. In her old age, she'll say, ah, Gesundheit, Uncle Arthur. Anyway, it was wonderful. The basil, I mean, it filled up my mini processor, a couple of cloves of garlic, a big pinch of salt, and some olive oil. And you know what? I liked it better than putting ketchup on my hamburger. Of course, my burger was not on a bun. So let's call it a chopped steak. So we had chopped steaks with, I also put in, but didn't tell Bob because he would be afraid of it. I also put in some hot pepper, one small calabrese hot pepper into this kind of pesto, a chimichurri. I like to call it chimichurri. Chimichurri is usually made with parsley and oregano. Mine was 100% basil. I'm probably going to make another one today, and I might actually do it with parsley and oregano instead of the basil because I don't have any more basil. What else did we do? We've been eating cooked vegetables. You're allowed cooked vegetables, broccoli, any leafy greens, so we've been eating quite a bit of spinach. I haven't dealt with mushrooms lately, but yes, mushrooms are good on this diet, and you can just saute them in olive oil. That would be really good on a chopped steak, I would say. And also eggs. We've been eating, you know, it's a good protein food, and you're allowed to scramble them in butter. I even use a little extra butter these days to make them extra buttery and delicious. And I'm experimenting with Chinese style eggs. And the other day, when I just could not cook anymore, we ordered in spare ribs from the Chinese restaurant down the street. We also ordered in some spinach, which I thought was foolishness because I cook spinach all the time, but we had to have something green, and there it was. So we ordered spare ribs, and we also ordered something I never, ever ordered from my local takeout joint, a roast duck, a half a roast duck, which in fact was really good. I was amazed at how good it was. Anyway, I had leftovers of both the duck and the spare ribs. So I diced up the meat. I sauteed an onion in some plain old canola oil, not in olive oil, because I didn't want that taste in my eggs. And I sauteed the onion, and then I heated through the diced up leftover duck and spare rib. I must tell you, this turned out to be really good. Now, I do know that the spare ribs had a sugary glaze on them, but I figured it's a glaze. How much sugar could there be? And I only had, what, four spare ribs for two of us, and a few pieces of duck breast for the two of us. So I thought, well, that's okay. Anyway, I diced it all up, and then I poured in my scrambled egg mixture. Now, I've been experimenting with this mixture. I know that one of our listeners, because she wrote to me, it's a couple, that they're making these Chinese scrambled eggs with tomato. Now, that's a recipe you can find online. It appeared in the New York Times several years ago, and I've been making it ever since because it's, one, so good, and two, so easy, and three, so Chinese. Now, normally, I eat this with a lot of rice, so we didn't have the rice part. But I did make a really, really good Chinese scrambled eggs, and here's what I've been putting into my eggs. I'm going to play with this a little bit, but right now, this is a good mixture. I bought jumbo eggs because they were on sale, and I'm figuring since we're mostly eating them, you know, scrambled, blah, 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 I'm not baking with them. I could buy jumbos. So I bought four, if you were using large eggs, I would say use six large eggs, but four jumbos, into which I put, I would say a little splashy tablespoon, meaning more than just a tablespoon, of wine, of Chinese rice wine. Now, you can buy this in the supermarket, but I must say that most supermarkets only carry the cooking version of this wine, and since that's the only version they carry, I would get it. Or you can use dry or slightly sweet, ever so slightly sweet, Spanish sherry. In fact, I tasted my rice wine the other day, and I must say it tastes a lot like sherry. So that substitutes a good one. So a tablespoon, a little bit more of the sherry, literally three drops of soy sauce just for the salt, and about, I would say, a half a teaspoon. You could use a tiny bit more of sesame oil. That gives it, the eggs, a sort of Chinese-y flavor, which I love. So I beat all that together rather well, and then I poured it on top of the onion and diced up meats that I had heated through. And when I scramble eggs, I always scramble sort of lightly. I start on high heat, and as soon as the eggs start cooking at the edges, I start pushing them around the pan, and I lower the heat. And in fact, since I want these eggs for the Chinese dishes to be really soft, I turn the heat off, and I finish the cooking of the eggs in the residual heat of the pan, and they come out very creamy. Now, I've been reading a bunch of recipes for Chinese eggs, and some of the recipes put in broth as well, and I may try that today because I'm going to make something I've been craving from a restaurant in Queens that I go to, right off the Long Island Expressway. It's easy to get to. And they make unbelievable scrambled eggs with shrimp. So I'm going to try that today. This is, by the way, very much on the diet. And I'm going to look at what a quarter of a pound of small shrimp looks like. I may use as much as a half a pound for two people. And I'm going to quickly stir-fry the shrimp, literally until they just become pink, and then take them out of the pan. And then I'm going to add an onion to the pan and cook that until it's tender. And then I'm going to take my egg mixture and put it in, and as soon as I put that in, I'm going to add the shrimp so that the last minutes, the few minutes it takes to cook the eggs, will finish cooking the shrimp. Shrimp only need literally 3 minutes on heat, whether it's in water, in oil in a pan. The total cooking time for a medium-sized shrimp is 3 minutes. Now, I'm going to try to buy smaller than medium size today. And if you can't get small shrimp to make scrambled eggs with shrimp, I would say chop up, cut into half-inch pieces, no bigger, larger shrimp, and sauté that literally 1 minute before you scoop them out and put the eggs in. That should be good. Now, of course, no rice. We are allowing ourselves some fruit. So the best fruits for any diet, for that matter, not just this low-carb one, are strawberries and watermelon. And don't eat too much because you are on a diet. But if you're not on a diet, who cares? But and if you're skinny, eat a lot. So we went out last night the second time since mid-March. The first time was for lunch at a taqueria. I think I mentioned that. It's a place that's been there for as long as I'm here, which is 22 years, and I've never been in it. And finally I tried it because they had lovely seating outside, and it was a beautiful day, and the place was empty. The food was really boring. So I'm not going back there unless I'm out with somebody who can't take Mexican food. It's a good place to go for Mexican food if you don't like Mexican food. It's the least seasoned Mexican food I've ever eaten, but it was fresh. But yesterday, we had a visitors, Bob's great niece and her husband, his great nephew. They're a young couple who just moved here from Utah and into New York. They were delayed, by the way. Tyler has a job at Chase. He's a mergers and acquisitions guy at Chase, and he's been working at home for the last. He was supposed to start here in early spring, but they never got here, and he only got here last week. And he's still working at home, but Chase is opening their offices next week, and he'll see what that's all about. in any case, we did go out to eat with them. And around here is very nice, I got to say. It's Labor Day weekend. The neighborhood seems to be empty. I mean, there are more parking spaces I've never seen before. But we went on to Vanderbilt Avenue, which is just two blocks away from me, on the other side of Flappish Avenue, where it's called Prospect Heights, as opposed to my side of Flappish Avenue, which is called Park Slope. So Prospect Heights is very up and coming, or maybe it even up and went. It's got a lot of expensive housing these days and a lot of young people. And it's very, just a little sidebar here. I go to a physical therapist, a young guy, he's just turned 40. So to me, that's young. And he has a baby. And he and his wife, who's a project manager for a construction company, just moved from Crown Heights to Park Slope. Well, it's called South Slope. It's the south end of Park Slope. And his parents and his sister and brother-in-law came to visit from Long Island and were really upset that he and his wife had just moved to another place in Brooklyn. Why do you want to live here? It's so dangerous. And Jeffrey said, well, I don't know how dangerous it is, all these guys with strollers. But that's all I see on my streets is daddies with strollers. And, in fact, Bob and I usually call the neighborhood daddies with strollers. There are more of them around here than anywhere I've ever seen. So anyway, Vanderbilt Avenue is a very nice, wide street that goes through Prospect Heights. By the way, Prospect Heights is one reason it's become so expensive is that there's all this new construction part of the Atlantic Yards, which is now called Pacific Park, which is neighborhood just behind the Barclays Center. It's all, you know, small houses and a few six-story apartment houses, you know, pre-war buildings. But now there's all this new construction, high-rises with amenities. So there's all those young people who want high-rises with amenities living in the neighborhood. But they've closed. The city has closed Vanderbilt for about six blocks. And because it is a wide street with a median down the middle with trees on it, people are picnicking on the median and setting up tables and chairs on the street. And all the restaurants, they did this so the restaurants could open. The restaurants spill out into the over the sidewalk into the gutter. We used to call the gutter. I don't know what you call the roadway. And it's like a party. In fact, the restaurant we were headed for, a Middle Eastern place called Zaytun, depends on how you say it, was across the street from this really bad band that was playing. And they do have seating outside the restaurant and in the back in a garden. And we said, oh, let's hope there's a table in the garden because I don't want to listen to this bad music while we're eating. Anyway, they did. It was quiet. It was lovely. It was filled with people, although not filled because the tables are very, very well distanced apart. And you could, in fact, order without ever seeing a waitress if you wanted to by using your phone. But for some reason, our phones weren't doing what we wanted them to do. So a waitress did come over. And I was able to get through a Middle Eastern meal with only eating a small piece of pita, and they make freshly baked pita at this place. It's very, very, very thin. So I feel like I didn't really consume many carbs there. But I did have a falafel, because they do have great falafel. And that's chickpeas, and that's sort of a no-no on this diet. And I did have a couple of swipes at the Baba Ganoush with the bread, but then I decided to give up on the bread. But there was one thing on the appetizer platters that I remember not liking in this place because I make it so much better. And it's rice with lentils and fried onions. Mujadara, it's called. There are other pronunciations of that, too. And it was so good last night, I had to eat it. But it was only about a quarter of a cup on the plate, maybe a half a cup at the most, of rice and lentils. So, and then, Middle Eastern restaurants do great grilled meat. And they have other vegetables and salads. So I realize I can get through this, one, on the diet, and two, through the COVID period, without becoming sick. So, and also I discovered they're open for lunch, which I didn't realize. So I think during this period, I think they're doing better business than they used to do when it was indoor seating, because for one thing, they have more seating outside, and they're still doing deliveries. So I don't know. Some restaurants, I think, are actually thriving in this period.
They're thriving in a little different way, but you know what? Just by you talking, there's nothing better than the names for Middle Eastern foods. I'm sorry, there isn't. Middle Eastern is right. There's just names that make it sound good, whether it's good or not.
I don't know. Muhammara?
Baba Ghanoush, come on. How can Baba Ghanoush be bad?
Well, I must say one thing that they had that I ate last night that I've been making myself, and now I've got to improve my version, is, excuse me, I'm going to now cough, not sneeze, but cough. Hold on a sec. I must say one thing about this diet, even though I don't know if I've lost weight, I suspect I have, in that I put on a shirt yesterday that was slightly snug the last time I put it on, and it was not snug yesterday, so that means I'm deflating a little bit. And the other thing is I do have a little bit more energy. In fact, last night, I usually conk out at 10:30. I stayed up until a little after 11 because I had energy. And the third thing is I'm way less phlegmy than I used to be. I'm a very phlegmy person, and that seems to have been remedied by this almost no-carb diet. So there's something Middle Eastern. Let's see, does this sound delicious? If I can even think of what it's called. in any case, it's the meat that you cook on the vertical spit. Shawarma.
Shawarma. Yeah, that's shawarma, yep.
It's shawarma. So they make chicken. So I didn't know this, but this restaurant, they must have a lot of other low-carb, no-carb clients, because the waitress right away said to us, after Bob said, well, I'm not eating bread. And she said, oh, we bring you hot pita. And he said, oh, I'm not eating bread. Is they have, you can order the meats just for the meat. So next time I go, I am going to order meats just for meat, and then we'll get some kind of a salad that we are allowed to eat, allowable salad, and that could be a good meal for me. So the shawarma was really good, and I've been doing shawarma myself, although I don't have a vertical spit. But my friend Leah Koenig, in her last book, The Jewish Cookbook, has a spice mixture for shawarma. And in this case, you make the shawarma on skinless, boneless chicken thighs. You season them very well with this spice mixture. And then you put them in a very hot oven and cook them. And then at the end, you put them in a skillet. Second cooking, basically, to crisp up the edges as if it was shawarma. Well, I've given up on the second cooking part. I thought one cooking was enough. But I did like Leah's spice mixture that you put. You know, by the way, you can rub this into the chicken in the morning and let it sit all day. It's even better. And, of course, if you grill it on an outdoor grill, it's going to be even better, I think. But I'm gonna beef up my shawarma mixture. It's got paprika. I guess I should probably give the formula, and the book is right here, so I can read it off. Who remembers? I made up a big batch of this when I made it, and I put it in a jar, and I've been using it. In fact, I just made chicken thighs the other day, just full out. In bone-in, skin-on chicken thighs, which in fact I still like better. Oh my God, the print in this index is so tiny because there's so much in it and so much in the book. Reminds me of this is something people don't know, but authors have to pay for their own indexes. Now, what's unfortunate is that the publisher usually gets the index done, but the author pays for it. You don't have to actually pay for it, but it comes out of your advance, which you already owe the publisher. And let me see where shawarma is. Come on. First of all, you have to have a magnifying glass to see this. I'll find it yet. In any case, they came out great. I rubbed this mixture in the morning. In the evening, I put the chicken in the oven at, 450 for 40 minutes. And that, of course, does the trick. But I still, after eating the one last night, I don't know why I'm not finding this. I'm looking under chickpeas instead of chicken. How's that? So I don't know where this spice mixture is. I think I'm going to have to do this next week because I can't. Here it is. I found it. So it's a very easy spice mixture, and I think it's worth keeping around and putting on your chicken. It's a 2 teaspoons. This is for one dose, so to speak. That's going to be enough for 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs. Now, Leah cuts hers into 4 pieces each chicken thigh. I don't find that's really necessary. So here's the spice mixture. 2 teaspoons of ground cumin, 2 teaspoons of sweet paprika, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground turmeric. Bob keeps saying, oh, maybe we should have turmeric because he reads online that it's
so good for you.
It's good for you, right? Well, don't. I said, you know, there's turmeric in the spice. I'm not doing turmeric. 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder. Now, that's a product I never keep in the house. I even have trouble smelling garlic powder. But in this case, I crushed up a clove of garlic and put it in. 1/2 teaspoon of smoked paprika. That gives a nice little bit of smoky flavor. If you like that flavor, you could increase that to 1/2 teaspoon or 3/4 teaspoon. And then salt, of course, 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon at least of a freshly ground black pepper. And Leah marinates or lets her chicken sit with this for as long as you want to let it sit with this. I would say if you do it in the morning, you can cook it in the afternoon, along with a large onion, thinly sliced, because this is very good with onion. And that's it. That's the whole deal. Some olive oil. Now, when you go to, I don't put oil in with my spice mixture because I keep the spice mixture in a spice jar. But when I go to make the chicken, I will, in fact, brush it all with olive oil and put the spice mixture on, or put the spice mixture on and then brush it all with olive oil, and put it on a sheet pan, chicken, which you've also, I would say, greased with a little bit of olive oil, and cook the chicken, I would say, at 425 is a good temperature for boneless, skinless thighs, and it's going to take a good half hour to cook. And that's it. It's really good. You can have this with a salad. By the way, the onion, too. Cook the onion the same way. And so I like all those bits of spice-rubbed roasted onion. It's delicious.
All right.
Now, of course, if I had a pita to stick it in, it would be even better. You
all
could
right.
dress, even on the diet, you could dress this with a tahini sauce. Just mix up some tahini, which is sesame seed paste, totally allowable on a no-carb diet, with a little bit of lemon juice and water, until enough water to make, because as soon as you add the lemon juice to the tahini, it will seize up, and then you can add water until it becomes fluid again, and you can drizzle that over your chicken. Another thing to drizzle over this chicken is yogurt, another allowable food. So you could have, especially if it's high-fat yogurt, don't go for the no-fat yogurt. You're on a diet where fat is important. So, and also, not only for the metabolic reasons, but also because it fills you up. And without carbs, it's hard to get full, I think, except on fat.
Yeah.
And speaking of fat, butter. And now I know why Costco sells giant jars of mayonnaise. They must all be on the keto diet. Because you're allowed a lot of mayonnaise.
All right. Well.
So we've been going through mayonnaise here.
All right.
Well, all right. Well, anyway, let's see. Maybe by next week I can report that I actually lost weight on this regimen.
I'm looking forward to that.
It causes high, I must say, yesterday I had high anxiety over elections and the man in the White House. So I was thinking maybe if I just had a bowl of pasta, I'd feel better.
No.
But I know, I resisted. But carbs do calm you down.
Yes.
So if you're on a diet like this and you're feeling particularly anxious in these anxious times, know that it's because you're not eating carbs.
All right.
As much as because of the world.
Okay, Arthur, I'll speak to you next week.
All right, well, anyway, that was long. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, bud.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.